I'm going to put my cantor hat aside for the moment as we turn to some words of Torah. This tomorrow night is Shavuot, and Shavuot is probably the least observed of the Shalosh Regalim, of the three festival holidays, called festival holidays or Shalosh Regalim, literally pilgrimage holidays, because once upon a time when the temple stood in Jerusalem, people would close up shop, water their plants, leave their animals with someone else, or bring them with them and make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We don't do that, but what we do on Shavuot is relive the giving of the Torah, which is the purpose and the point and the commemoration that Shavuot provides. It's called the festival of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, or for us humans, really, the receiving of the Torah. And so I thought sometimes I'll address issues of politics. Sometimes there's so many different topics, but when we get to Shavuot, it feels like pure Torah in some way is the appropriate thing for us to look at, because that is indeed what we are celebrating. And the other thing of note that we're marking is the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, the beginning of the book of Numbers. In English, it's called the Book of Numbers because within it, there are two sensi, I think is the plural of census. There are two periods where we are counting how many people have left Egypt, how many have survived. In part, it's for determining a draft or conscription into the mandatory army service of the ancient Israelites. There are a lot of ways to understand Bamidbar, but the way I want to share it with you tonight is a perspective that is offered by Aviva Zornberg. And if you don't know the name Aviva Zornberg, I want to tell you a little bit about her, because every generation, and really not every generation, every 100 years or 200 years or 400 years, you get somebody whose Torah is so deep that it opens an entirely new way to look at these stories that we tell each other year after year after year. And Aviva Zornberg is the person, not only in our time, but really for a remarkable stretch of time. What she does, which is unique, is that she looks at the Midrash, the stories that are told about the Torah, to pull out these subtle voices that are there, sort of the, as she would call it, the subconscious of the Torah's text. And what she talks about for Bamidbar is rather striking, but also somewhat accurate, I think. She calls it the Book of Disaster. The Book of Disaster, because within Bamidbar, we have one tragedy after another, one example of a people being undermined in some way. And the wilderness without civilization is a place in which that can happen. One of the things that slips by unnoticed with this book of Numbers and the census that occur throughout it is that you realize by the time we get to the second census, you realize that everyone who left Egypt is dead. And it slips by us unaware, because the Torah presents it as though there's a continuity. But when you realize it and read closely, you realize not a single person who left Egypt is there in the desert. And I'm just old enough now in my own life to begin to see generation gaps, to understand what it means when one generation begins to depart and the way they look at the world ends and a new one comes about. And there's disruption there, and there is the pain of loss that comes when those we love and when an entire generation passes. So there is that sense of disaster that occurs in the book of Bamidbar. There are other forms as well. This is the book in which Korach and the rebellious people speak to against Moses, and the ground opens up and they are sucked in into the earth. And when you look at Bamidbar through the Midrash and very carefully, there is this constant imagery of falling. So another way in which Bamidbar is this book of disaster is that it reminds us of the ways that we fall in this world, in which our goals don't quite come out the way we might want them to be. This is also the book of complaint, which is itself a form of disaster. This is the book in which the Jews constantly are complaining, not sure of what's happening. The elders have all gone. There's a new generation. The elders complain. The new generation complains. It is a book in which all hope is lost as well, because it is the book in which the spies go into the land of Israel, which God has said is a good land and broad land flowing with milk and honey and everything you need. But nonetheless, you should send scouts into the land to figure out what happens. And they come up not with a message of hope, but of complete fear and of a sense of really of hopelessness. So Bamidbar is also the story in which despair enters into the Torah narrative. It is a pivotal book, and I think that there are ways in which every one of us has this period of wilderness in our life. There are moments in which we lose the way, because this is also a book that lacks direction. When you look at a map of the desert in which the Israelites traveled, we're talking a 3-day journey that took 40 years. And there are lots of jokes told about this, but the people are without direction, their GPS is broken, and they are wandering back and forth with no purpose, with no hope, falling constantly into the world, complaining, imagining that things were better as slaves. And as I was thinking of this message of the Torah, I was thinking that this is the story of contemporary America, because we as a nation seem to be in a place that is in despair, that lacks hope. We're a nation that talks about how America used to be great, and some people's tagline is that it should be great again, but it's not now. And throughout the current scene, we come across how perspective is so tied to hope and to direction and to purpose. And if we as a nation are in this wilderness period, then it's also true that for every human being, there are points in our lives where we have lost our hope and our direction and our purpose. And yet the book of Bamidbar is a book where hope is just around the corner, because everything of the national purpose of the Jews, of making it into the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, is there just ahead. And so we're reminded that in our lives, how we choose to look at the world really changes everything. Are we in a 3-day journey or 40 years away from our destination? Is this a period where we have nothing to eat, as they complained, or a period where manna, where God miraculously provides for us? I think that the purpose of Torah, when I look at it in its big purposes and its low, is not just to tell the story of what happened to our ancestors, but to remind us about how we look at our lives and to offer us a way to live a little bit better. So for all of us who may be in moments of Bamidbar, moments where we don't know the way forward, remember the book ends with us perched at the promised land. May we find that promise. May we know we can get there. May we understand that despair and hopelessness and falling are part of the human experience, but that they are just temporary occurrences. And if we remember that, we find the direction a little bit faster. Shabbat Shalom.